Fedheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings episode 88, Pumpkin Pairing 3.0. That's right, this is the third pumpkin pairing show we've had because we've been around that long. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. We are broadcast live around the world, picked up in the Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course, to every podcast device out there in the world. Sharing Our Pairings is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, makers of the finest cigars in the world. If you haven't tried a Gurkha today, I don't know how you haven't. Go down, talk to your local B&M. They'll hook you up, no problem. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Robbie Rass. Rob, what's going on, brother?
Just trying to stay afloat here in rainy California. We got some rain. It's actually kind of awesome.
About time.
Yeah, no kidding, right? This time of year, this is my jam. I get to throw my beanie back on. I get to wear all my hoodies. And you mentioned this is Pumpkin Ale 3.0. Holy crap.
Holy crap.
Although I'm revisiting one. I for my other website, for mixandmash.com, I did a bunch of pumpkin ale reviews last year. I must have done 15. So I got a little pumpkined out. And when John suggested this show, I thought, man, I don't really want to do pumpkins. But the whole premise of pairing pumpkins with a Nomad cigar was too hard for me to pass up.
Sorry, Fred. So, of course, this is the show where we pair cigars and, well, beverages, really. I was going to say spirits and beers, but it's really a wide variety of beverages. And we've gone with the one of the newest releases from Nomad. I'd say the newest, but there's been so many new releases from IPCPR. This is a Martial Law. If you haven't checked out my review of it, check it out. I went absolutely bananas over this cigar. One of those cigars where I got sort of mostly through the first third and then immediately bought a box. So I've got this is from my box. And yeah, it's 6x50 Toro. What's cool about it is out of the Fabrica Oveja Negra factory. If you're not familiar with that factory, that's the factory that brings you Black Label Trading Company. Great group, James and Angela. Awesome cigars, awesome people. MSRP on this bad boy is $12, 12 ducats, and it's sold in 12-count boxes. Box is kind of a funny shape. It's kind of like a long skinny. And specs on it uses a Habano wrapper, which is probably why I like it. Ecuadorian Habano.
Ecuadorian Habano, baby.
Ecuadorian Habano, baby. And then Jalapa binder, which is Nicaraguan. And then he kind of walks around the flavor map with the fillers. It's got all the four regions, so Condega, Esteli, Jalapa, and Ometepe, and good times. How you enjoying it so far?
So far, it's pretty nice. It's got kind of a rugged, earthy feel to it. And I didn't realize that this came out of the factory that James owns down there. And you'd have to tell me the name of the factory again because it slipped my mind. But
Fabrica Oveja Negra.
Yeah, I didn't realize. That's pretty sweet. One thing that I said, and you and I were, prepping for the show when I took this out of the cellophane, the wrapper on this thing is velvety as all get out, man.
Oh yeah,
like it is a really, really beautiful. It doesn't really translate when look, but it's got a nice little sheen to it, so it's a little bit oily, but it's got a real, real nice feel to it. That kind of molted leather look, like an old bomber jacket. That's what I always think of. Real nice. Kind of rugged, earthy profile, nice black pepper spice on the retrohale, some richness in there as well. Not a lot of sweetness, but I don't think that's really the point here. It's a little bit outside of the realm of cigars that I normally gravitate towards, but it's definitely bringing a lot in the flavor department.
What I liked about this cigar is that it does start out one direction in the flavor map and then takes a sharp, not a sharp left-hand turn, but a left-hand turn in the middle third, and then continues to evolve all the way to the end. And I don't like to smoke overly complex cigars all the time, but I certainly love overly complex cigars. And this is a fantastically complex cigar. Like, what it starts out with is not where you're going to end up with in the middle third. So I kind of tried to start a little bit before the show so that I could get into the middle third by the time we get to some of our middle beer pairings here tonight. And maybe showcase a little bit more of the flavors. Other than that, like you said, I think that's an apt description. It starts out with like a really rugged spice, like it's kind of a dirty, rugged spice, and I like it.
Yeah, it's dirty and rugged and all that giggity, mm-hmm. But it's earthy, it's manly, it's kind of, I don't know. It's definitely not a sissy cigar. How about that? I don't know what a sissy cigar is.
Yeah, I don't know, but you got to have your big boy panties on for this one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Can you even say sissy anymore? I mean, probably not. I'm sure I offended somebody.
It's probably not okay.
Yeah, I probably offended somebody, but who cares? I'm moving on. But I have a feeling that it's going to go well with my first beer because I cheated and I've been been sipping on this here a little bit.
Cheater pumpkin eater.
Whoa. Yeah. There you go. That worked. That kind of worked. Some of these later beers, I went a little bit off the reservation with one of them. I think you did too, so it worked out pretty well. I'm excited. I've only had one of these beers before, so yeah, pretty cool. I'm excited to check these out.
I'm flying completely blind tonight. All three beers are beers I've never tried before. Two of the three I've had examples from the brewery. The middle beer is a new brewery to me, and makes sense because they only opened a couple of years ago, so no doubt it's new to me. But let's kick it off, because I've already been cheating like you. I kind of feel like a beer today. So first up, and props to their bottle design, this is Steamworks Brewery. It doesn't get any more pumpkin than that. It's kind of got for our listeners, it's got a pumpkin with like a bunch of guns coming out the one eye, and then a steam thing out of his head, and then there's like a flying evil pumpkin in the background with steam coming out of there. And there's all this kind of, you know, steampunk.
Like steampunk kind of feel to it.
It's very cool. It's got like a rocket ship there. They've kind of got a cursive description on the back, which I love when they do that. You know, you could go to the website and get the info, which is what I did, but you could just read the back, and they've talked about it. So quick hits about Steamworks, because I don't think I've talked about them on the show before. They opened in 1995 as a brew pub in British Columbia, and we find a lot of breweries in the north of the United States and certainly West Coast start out as brew pubs, and then they go, I kind of want to start a brewery. So in 2013, they expanded to open a brewery in Burnaby, and the reason they're so steamy, like the steam feature on the bottle, is because their brewery operates off steam power. How funky is that? So this bad boy is 6.5% ABV, and curiously and not at all planned, all of my beers are either 6% or 6.5% today. I don't know how that worked out, but it did. 25 IBUs, and they say the color is autumn sunset. How apropos, and yep, that's definitely like a golden amber autumn sunset. The malts are Maris Otter, Munich, Cara 20, Cara 45, and chocolate, with only one type of, hopefully I said malts there and not hops. And the hops are Magnum, all listed on the back of the bottle. And they say the other ingredients on here is pumpkin, cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, and cloves. And so far, so good. It's kind of, you know, I talked about, I think on our last show, on the show before that, how I like a particular flavor style in a pumpkin beer. I don't want the pumpkin to be waved over it. If I'm drinking a pumpkin ale, I want to taste pumpkin. And this is, so far as I've been cheating, strikes a really good balance. And it's got enough pumpkin flavor and enough of those spices without one or the other overrunning the palate. So I'll take some more sips and see if I can collect my thoughts while you talk about your first pairing here.
That is an awful lot of information that they put on the bottle. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, kudos. That's really... For some, like, as you're reading off those malts, as you know, a home brewer, I'm listening to that and thinking, yeah, uh-huh, okay, I know why they used that. I know why they did that. And I mean, Magnum was just a bittering hop, and that was all they used it for, because you don't really want any hoppiness out of this at all.
No.
Yeah, that's really cool that they add all that information on there. I'm starting out with a beer that I've had before, and I did have last year. And a lot of people say this is one of the best pumpkin beers around, you know, whatever. It's the Elysian. The Great Pumpkin Imperial Pumpkin Ale. And it's checking in. Imperial Pumpkin Ale checks in at 8.8%, which...
Ooh, doggy.
If we're going by ABV, I probably should have had this last. But based on the flavor of everything, I did a little sample beforehand. I figured this was probably the best one to start with. And it probably comes in at that same golden hue, sunset, whatever the hell you were saying a second ago. It's quite tasty. Little bit of information about Elysian. I mean, everybody knows Elysian was bought out by InBev, but who cares? They've been around since 1996. They brewed over 350 craft beers. Craft beers. It sounded like I said
beers.
Craft.
Yeah,
sounded like I said crap, but I said craft. Freudian slip. Craft beers since it opened on Capitol Hill in 1996. Capitol Hill in where is that? It's in Seattle. Okay, so they're in Seattle, Washington. So you say Capitol Hill, I start thinking, you know, like the White House, but mm-hmm. Not so much. So this is an imperial-style pumpkin ale. They say the body is medium. Oh, and they actually give me all the info here. This is kind of nice. So the tasting notes: pours a deep copper with a ghostly white head. Come on, guys. Intense pumpkin, sugar, and spice on the nose. And that's absolutely true. It's pumpkin pie on the nose. And frankly, that's kind of what you want, like you were saying, or at least, you know, when you tell me that it's a pumpkin ale, don't wave the pumpkin over the top, like you said. I mean, make it taste like pumpkin. Otherwise, why make it a pumpkin ale? It's got a bready and malty backdrop to tame those autumn spices into a remarkably smooth, balanced, and delectable fall treat. And it really is pretty well balanced as far as a pumpkin ale is concerned. It's got that flavor. It's definitely on the sweeter side. And if you don't like pumpkin ales, then don't drink it. It's really my don't say, oh well, it tastes too much like pumpkin, or it tastes too much like pumpkin pie or whatever. Well, if you think it does, you don't want it to taste like that, why are you drinking it in the first place?
Good point.
That's my question. Malts, pale, Munich, Karahel, Kara Vienna. I don't know what Karahel is. Sounds aggressive. Kara Vienna, Kara Munich, and a crisp 45 Lovabon crystal malt. And all the crystal malts, those are all for color. The pale and the Munich are going to be your base malts. Those Karahel, Kara Vienna, Kara Munich, those are all kind of a flavoring malt, if you will. The bittering hops, Magnum. And Magnum is a pretty standard bittering hop because the alpha acids are so high, you don't need to use as much. And you don't get a ton of flavor out of it. You don't get a ton of aroma out of it. It's just that bitterness. So it's perfect for something like when you don't want to use – like I use Magnum in my – what did I make that I used Magnum in? I didn't want any hops. Oh, and I did a blueberry wheat, and I used Magnum as my bittering hop because I only have to use like half as much as something else. Because the alpha acids, again, are so high. The special additives in here, roasted pumpkin seeds in the mash, extra pumpkin added in the mash. Now, the mash is when you add all of your malts. You put your you put it on a certain temperature. You hold it at that temperature, whatever that temperature is, for, you know, 60 minutes, give or take, so you can release the enzymes and everything gets converted into sugars that can be then consumed by the yeast to create beer. So the pumpkin, extra pumpkin is added to the mash, the kettle, and the fermenter. It's spiced with cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, and allspice. 20 IBUs, and it is a fall specialty beer available only in 22-ounce bottles, which I did pick up at my local BevMo, and it's on draft as well. The pairing so far is actually really good. Fred, you're going to hate it, man. I know, Fred, you're going to be so pissed. But no, the pairing is actually really good because everything that this Nomad Martial Law brings to the table, like we were talking about, that kind of aggressive earthiness and with some spice and kind of heavier, darker flavors, if you will, the great pumpkin brings in that brighter side, that sweetness, a little bit of and those baking spices. So it really is a nice.
They're very complimentary.
Exactly.
Sorry, Fred.
Opposite ends of the spectrum that come together and really make for a nice combined flavor. But let's jump into yours, John. I got a little verbose there. I apologize.
No, it's exciting. I mean, it's always fun when you get a beer right off the hopper that, you know, is quite good and very satisfying, and that those pairings, those flavors kind of click very nicely together. I just want to remind our audience that you're tuned into Sharing Our Pairings episode 88. Pumpkin Pairing 3.0 will repair cigars and beverages. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. We broadcast live around the world and picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. This first segment is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars. Pick up the 93 rated Heritage at your local B&M today. If your local B&M doesn't have it, which I can't imagine they wouldn't, you can also check out online. Gurkha is sold everywhere. Cigars are sold. And I'm having a different pairing experience in terms of the body of my beer than you are for your first beer. So you're talking about sort of pumpkin pie. I'm getting more of a subdued, nuanced pumpkin ale experience. And honestly, it's working for me. So like I said, it's got the pumpkin. I definitely taste the pumpkin. But I think right at the point where it would approach that sort of rich pie, sweet flavor, it steps off and I get more of the nutmeg and the cloves and the spices, like the baking spices, and then a little bit of sweetness to finish. And then, you know, that little bit of Magnum hop crispness just to sort of cut off the sweetness. And as you say, I think, you know, this cigar and this pumpkin ale, they work everything that, like, and I'm just going to echo your words, everything that this cigar isn't, this beer is, and everything this beer isn't, this cigar is. It's just they're complementing each other really well, filling in those gaps. And I don't find that the strength of the cigar or the strength of the beer is running each other over. So all the flavors that I was tasting pre-show in the cigar, I'm still getting those clearly, which is nice because it's tough to anticipate what that's going to be when you're doing a pairing for the first time. You're not quite sure whether maybe the beverage is going to run over the nuances in that cigar, or maybe the cigar is going to run the beverage right over, and all of those little flavors that you pick up on a beer isn't going to be there. But this works, and I'm going to probably do some more retrohales here just to see if I'm picking up any additional flavors off the cigar as a result. But I would say this first pairing leaves me quite satisfied.
Yeah, we're definitely off to a good start. The body on the cigar has mellowed out a bit.
Yep.
And like you were saying, it kind of takes that turn. I think I'm just finishing up the first third, if even. I started a little bit later than you did. That bold black pepper is still there. It's a black pepper to me on the retrohale. It's still there. It doesn't burn. You know, and you can get some of those retrohales where you're like, oh, man, I can't even retrohale this thing. It's a smooth retrohale, but it's got a lot of spice to it. And that deep, dark peppercorn kind of flavor hits the tongue a little bit there. The body of it that's resting on the tongue, the flavors that hit the tongue, have smoothed out. There's still rich, still kind of a woody notes in there. There's, I mean, almost a glimmer of leathery kind of notes in there. And I know that's not something you look for in a cigar, so you probably didn't get that. But I get a little bit of that leaning in that direction. And a little bit of that spice, but when you combine it, I'll be damned with this, sorry, I had a little bing that just popped up and it threw me off. When you combine it with the great pumpkin from Elysian. Thank you for trying to bail me out there. I appreciate
it.
The sweetness from this beer, and I don't remember it being this sweet. I remember it being a bit more balanced. This is definitely coming out on the sweet side. And I think it's just, it's when in conjunction with the heavier flavors from this beer, the spiciness from it, it really does follow it up like dessert. Like this is the cigar's Thanksgiving dinner, and this is my pumpkin pie at the end.
Nice.
And one thing that I've just noticed, and I'm using this glass, they call it like a beer can glass, and it's actually got the logo from Mix and Mash is etched on there. I don't know if you can see it from, I'll have to look up and see the guy who made it for me. He's on Instagram, and he does some really good work. But if they call it a beer can glass, and when you take a sip, your nose fits right in there with you. And I've noticed that with this, if I'm taking a sip of the beer and I kind of inhale through my nose at the same time, there's an avalanche of flavor coming through with aroma and everything that's hitting the palate. It really is. I think I do that all the time. More so with this beer, the aroma on this thing is so pronounced. And with the flavors that are hitting the palate, it really is. It's everything that you're going to want, I think, out of a pumpkin ale without going into like a stout or a porter or something like that. And just to point out on Beer Advocate, it's rated as a 92 and it's got 183 reviews. So people seem to love it.
Well, you were mentioning some of the leather on the cigar, and I absolutely picked that up, and I think I wrote about it in the review. What I like about it is that the leather isn't taking the forefront. It's an accent flavor. And if you can have leather or earth in there as an accent flavor, that's fantastic, because really you're propping up some of the initial components that are there without taking over the flavor profile. And I think if it was forefront leather, I would be not a fan. One of the things I'm really liking about this pumpkin ale from Steamworks is that the creaminess, and I know I can't remember now because it's been a while since we did our last pumpkin show, but I don't remember it. The last pumpkin ales I had being this creamy, and it's nice because as you kind of roll it around in your tongue, it brings out a little bit more of the nutmeg and the cinnamon and those spices. But again, they're balanced, you know. It's not like you're having a cinnamon roll and your tongue is just completely blown out by cinnamon. It's creamy, it's refreshing, it gets you ready for another puff of the cigar. And again, that's kind of what I want. I want a beer that's going to support my cigar, doesn't take away from it, you know, resets my palate between draws, and so far, so good. Sorry, Fred. It's good. You should try it out, brother.
So just to get back, the guy who made my glass, you can find him on Instagram. It's Broken Hops Glass Co., all one word. And he, if you reach out to him, he does custom orders. So And they're relatively cheap. He'll just do one-offs for you. And he's got a bunch of different styles of glasses. So definitely worth checking out Broken Hops Glass Co. At Instagram. I think that's the website as well. Just really cool. I don't know. Whatever.
No, that's cool. So as I get into, and the cigar for me is, like you said, I think we're actually at the same point on the smoking spectrum for how far we're down. I think I'm just starting to get into the middle third, and it is taking that abrupt turn. I remember this from the review where there is that black pepper. The black pepper I would describe as like if you have a little bit of cracked black pepper on your Caesar salad. So it's just kind of a supporting flavor, but it's there. You can taste it in your mouth. Doesn't overpower, but it's a great accent flavor. But I'm starting to get to that point in the cigar where I'm getting some nice chocolate notes. Creaminess, chocolate, along with those spices on the retrohale. I mean, yeah, it goes really well. So as much as I want to sit here and just drink this Steamworks Pumpkin Ale all night, we've got two other beers to go to, so I feel like I'm going to hop into my second beer here.
I was just going to say, do we need to move on? Like, I feel like we need to just Costanza and leave on a high note here.
Should have just done a short part ish, and what were we thinking?
Mic drop, and we're done.
So many bombers to go through, so little time. So this is another one that's kind of, you know, I think one of the big themes of pumpkin ales, you got to kind of have that cool artwork to draw people's eye. This one definitely has that. It's a little bit on the busy side, but it's kind of got that Halloween font. It's got a little bit of the horror theme to it, where it's an evil pumpkin patch with kind of a spooky tree, and you know it almost sort of takes you back to maybe the Great Pumpkin Adventure with the font. I don't know, but it's called
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is the Great Pumpkin Adventure?
You know, Charlie Brown.
Oh, it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Okay. There we go.
He brings toys to all the good children.
All the good children. And this is kind of what that font reminds me of. It's that Halloween. It's about the time for Charlie Brown. That's what it reminds me of. So this is the Pumpkin Patch. This is from Canuck Empire Brewing Company. And if you want to check out more about them, you can go to CanuckEmpireBrewing.com. Very, very new brewery, and it's a surprising thing because British Columbia has a lot of... You know, you talked about Elysian being around since 1996. The first brewery that I did was, the brew pub was open since 1995, and there's a lot of breweries in British Columbia that have been open for a long, long time. They've got a very established brewing culture. So there's a bit of an explosion in British Columbia for new breweries a couple of years ago, and Canuck Empire Brewing was one of them. So they've opened up in Abbotsford, British Columbia, which is kind of a smaller town. They've been open since 2014. Had to do some research because, guys, you need to work on your website. Couldn't, you know, I find with these breweries, they don't want to talk about themselves. They don't want to put themselves out there. I don't know if it's a humbleness thing, but I find it sometimes really tough to find out, like, who started your company? When did you start? Why did you start? What city are you in? A lot of times they have, like, three paragraphs, and it's like, bro, I just want to know what city you're located in. I don't have to Google it. I'm on your company website.
Helpful information.
Yeah, so this is a bit lighter than the Steamworks Pumpkin Ale, but I chose this in the order that I did for a good reason. 6% ABV, but up to 30 IBUs, so steps up a little bit. The ingredients, of course, is water. That's kind of a no-brainer. The malts are going to sound very familiar. Two-row, Munich 30. Let me try that again. Munich 30, not Munich N30, but Munich 30, aromatic, caramel 60, and wheat. And then, of course, they use pure pumpkin maple syrup, which is kind of interesting. Now, I think why they bumped this up to 30 is they use two kinds of hops, Magnum and Pearl, and then, as expected, cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, and allspice. And it's definitely a spicier beast. I'm glad this is my number two beer. It's very much more on the spicy scale than the first one. This, to me, smells more like the Thanksgiving or Christmas baking. You know, it's kind of got all that complex nutmeg and allspice and cloves. And if I smelled this on a pastry, I'd be all over it, like a fat kid on a cookie. So I'm going to take some sips and let you talk about your second beverage tonight.
All right. So for me, beer number two, excuse me, I went a little bit off the reservation because this isn't technically, they don't call it a pumpkin ale. This is the Harvest Ale from Barrel House Brewing. Now, I've never had anything from Barrel House. They just started carrying it at my local BevMo. And they're local. They're from Paso Robles, California, which is it's the Central Coast, like down by where Cal Poly University is, which my wife went to school. The Central Coast, Paso Robles, is known more for their wine. really than their beer, but you can really make beer anywhere, right? Barrel House, again, first time I've had it. Was started by co-owners Jason Carvalho, who I feel like I might actually know him.
That'd be funny.
Now that I'm I know that the name Carvalho, I know a Carvalho. I don't know if it was Jason or not. And Kevin Nickel, yeah, Kevin Nickel, and they were joined by longtime friend Chris Vaughn in 2013 to start Barrel House Brewing Company. Blah blah blah. Their portfolio includes a bunch of different beers and blah blah blah. They're in Paso Robles and they make some sours and all this and that. You can check them out at barrelhousebrewing.com. And this Harvest Ale is part of their Forager series, which are their limited seasonal releases. And I mean, everybody's got limited this, limited that, but this Harvest Ale, it's a spiced brown porter, 6.8% ABV. Ooh. And 22 IBUs, so kind of right in the thick of things. They don't break down, what malts are using or what hops they're using. I imagine they're probably just using Magnum hops like everybody else because it makes sense. but like I said, this is a spiced brown ale. Let's see, it's a spiced brown porter. I beg your pardon. It's crafted with fresh local spices and hand roasted pumpkins, with hints of graham cracker, pumpkin pie, and vanilla. It celebrates the spirit of the season with a truly unique taste. And it really does have a uniqueness to it. It's very different than your average pumpkin ales. And I sipped all of these before the show started, and this one was my favorite. This is a beer that I will track down and buy again. And I don't remember what the price is for the Bomber. It's probably in like $6-$7 range, which isn't too bad. The Elysian was like 8 or 9. And my next beer was, I think, 8 or 9 as well. So, you know, anything you can find that's in that $5 to $6 range is $5 to $7 really is a pretty good deal, I think, in that format in the 22 ounce. Definitely darker than what we were working with. It's got kind of that real super dark amber. Yep. It's not as thick and viscous, I guess, as a stout would be, but definitely has that porter look to it and nice kind of tan head in there. And the flavor on it is something I'm going to get into as I take a few more sips here, but I'm curious to see how everything's working out on yours, John.
And I'll talk about that in a second. Before that, I will remind our audience, you're tuned into Shanghai Pairings episode 88, Pumpkin Pairing 3.0. We're pairing the Nomad Martial Law, brand new release at the IPCPR 2016. And we're doing it with pumpkin ales, partly because it's fun, but partly because we know, Fred, you're going to hate us for it. We love you, brother. Sorry about that. We broadcast around the world, picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. So I kind of, I'm kind of unfortunately in that place, and I'm not going to rail on it for too long. It's a decent beer. The step from 25 IBUs to 30 IBUs is too much. There's too much hoppiness going on here. It's really distracting from the rest of the flavor of the beer. And although I'm definitely getting the spices and the pumpkin, and I'm not sure if it's just the beer itself or the hops, but this is an example of one where I just find the pumpkin flavor to be too thin. So, you know, I taste the beer, it's not as creamy as the Steamworks. It's still got a little bit of creaminess there. I get the pumpkin hint. And then really what I get is a lot of the spices. And then really by the time I'm sort of processing the spices on my tongue, the bitter hoppiness, and it's pleasant. I mean, if you just called it an ale, I would drink it and I would very much enjoy it. But I'm looking for a pumpkin ale, and for me, I feel like the pumpkin here kind of gets lost in the shuffle. The spices are still there. I think it was dialed down a little bit. If they had kicked out the pearl hops and just gone with Magnum, maybe that would have made the difference. But a little disappointed.
You know, I think, oddly enough, I feel like our beers are probably pretty similar.
Interesting.
This isn't marketed as a pumpkin ale. If it were, it would be disappointing. It's marketed as Harvest Ale. It's got some pumpkin and vanilla. So pumpkin isn't the overall, like pumpkin pie spice and the nutmeg and all that noise.
Yeah.
That's not the goal. That's not really what they're trying to achieve here. At least that's the way I'm interpreting it. And based on the way that they wrote everything up on their site. It really tastes, I keep calling it a brown ale. They call it a brown porter. to me, it has more of a brown ale kind of feel to it. It doesn't have that earthiness that I expect from a porter. So it's very enjoyable. There's a kind of a tartness to it as well. Not tart in the sense like a Goza or something of that nature, but a little bit of a sourness to it that is very good, actually. I know sour always sounds negative to me, but a little bit of a tartness in there. You're still getting that vanilla. You're getting that pumpkin, more of like a roasted pumpkin seed. Like if you had pumpkin seeds, this isn't a pumpkin pie type situation. It's more of a pumpkin seed. So you're getting, it's a bit more pumpkin on the earthy side, if you will. And there's a little bit of that sweetness in there. And it goes really well with the kind of rugged body of the cigar and that spice. It kind of mellows out that spice. And that flavor that's hitting the side of my tongue is almost acting as like a palate cleanser. It kind of wakes up your palate a little bit every time you take a sip. And then you go over, you take a puff, and you start all over again. And it's really, really quite nice. It's not as – if I'm going for like a straight pumpkin ale pairing, then you got to go with the Elysian Great Pumpkin because it's pumpkin pie in a bottle, right? This is a bit more approachable, I think, for the average beer drinker who maybe doesn't like pumpkin ales. The pumpkin is there, but you really kind of have to look for it, and it's definitely more on the earthy side. Really digging it. Very, very different than my first one.
I feel like this Nomad Martial Law might actually pair really well with a Goza, as long as the Goza isn't super, super sour. Mm-hmm. I think the sourness could match up really nicely with the spices and the earthiness and the leather there, but you know, now that I'm having a pumpkin ale, it's got a little bit more hoppiness to it. I think a West Coast IPA that was more along the fruity, orangey, you know.
Juicy.
Yeah. Rather
or
than
even that stuff that they're coming out with up in the Northeast.
Yes.
Those real fruity, but like hot bombs. Fruity.
Yeah. Without that bitter pininess.
Yeah.
I think this cigar would actually match up really well with that because it's a classic example. Again, you're filling in the gaps. This cigar doesn't come out the gate with a lot of spicing or a lot of sweetness. And I think that citrus would really do a great job of counterbalancing the earthiness, the leather, some of the ruggedness in the cigar. And I think that could be a really interesting pairing. I've certainly got enough of the cigars that I can try some future pairings, and I know I will. But like I said, I'm just unfortunately... This is a good beer. It's just, it's not what I was looking for when I was striking out to try different pumpkin ales with this cigar. I wanted something a little bit more pumpkin for it. I do like the hoppiness, just not what I was looking for.
Yeah, I'm more inclined to enjoy this particular beer. I'm going to revisit the Elysian Great Pumpkin. These are only available for a few months.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to head back down to BevMo and grab one or two more just so I can have them. They feel like it'd be kind of fun to have after Thanksgiving dinner. We're up at my mother-in-law's house, and she makes a fantastic Thanksgiving dinner. And or my wife's cooking, or whoever, you know, whoever. Actually, we'll probably do it here this year and do the deep-fried turkey. Oh, baby, that's so good. But having
my arteries hardening already.
Oh man, it's so good. It's not paleo, but I'm going to do it anyway. And beer isn't paleo either, so who cares? But my wife has us on a modified paleo diet. Have I mentioned that?
I love my carbs. I can't do it.
Tell you what, man, cutting out dairy, and I know this is going out on the radio, I am far less gassy than I've ever been in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Cutting out dairy, I love pizza, I love cheese, but cutting that out we've only been doing it for like 3 weeks. I've already lost 5.5 pounds.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just like you're retaining water because I'm not eating those salty Cheez-Its. Oh, God, I would crush a box of Cheez-Its right now. But anyway, nobody cares, but having something like this to have after Thanksgiving dinner or something would be a lot of fun. But this Harvest Ale from Barrel House Brewing is something that I would just enjoy on a regular Tuesday night when it's fall outside, because it's got that, it's malty. They call it a porter, and I'm sure technically by definition it is, but to me it's more of a brown ale, and it's got a little bit of sweetness to it, a little bit of that baking spice. Really, really enjoyable. And the pairing is good. Not as good as the Great Pumpkin. That's really perfect for this cigar if you really want to get that kind of pumpkin pie experience. But really, really digging this. After this, I'm going to check out more from Barrel House. There was a bunch of different things at my local BevMo, and I'm looking at their website. They make a ton of different beers. The next one in their Forager series, which comes out in December, It's called Knight Rider, and it's an Imperial Black Rye IPA. Sounds like something I need to have in my life.
Absolutely.
That just sounds phenom.com. So we're going to have to check that. I can't believe I just said that. We're going to have to check that out. But anyway, yeah, it's a winner, man. And it's I think you'd dig this beer.
It sounds like it would. And unfortunately, we're already past Canadian Thanksgiving, so I can't enjoy it with turkey until we get into our Christmas season. But I did enjoy my turkey dinner, and of course I'm working off that turkey dinner because, as always, it happens. You eat way too much dessert, drink too much, and just get fatter and fatter. So I'm kind of hoping
you got to go paleo, bro.
But
the nice thing about deep frying your turkey is it takes like 45 minutes. It cooks so quick.
That's pretty fast.
It's super easy. I mean, we did I think it was a 19-pound turkey. We did it like 52 minutes, something like that.
Wow.
It's so easy. And if you do it in peanut oil, it's not that bad for you. But it's not as bad. Let's say that. It's not as bad. But yeah, it's a beautiful thing, man. And you could do that on like a Wednesday. I'm telling you.
Turkey Wednesdays.
Boom. I love turkey. Oh, my wife makes this turkey soup. We probably can't have this year because she usually puts like noodles in it and stuff, and you can't have noodles because it's not paleo. But we might have to make it. We'll break it a little bit, I think. But I don't know. I feel pretty good, man. I used to feel bloated. Now I don't anymore.
You should do turkey soup with barley. I think barley would be because barley doesn't break down, right?
I don't think barley isn't necessarily paleo. Paleo is very specific. But what my wife did, we made some, nobody cares about this, we're so far off topic and we'll move on, but she made some chicken soup with, you dice up carrots and celery and you put that in there in the chicken stock. And she put, riced cauliflower in there.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of, putting in rice or putting in a noodle, just to give it a little bit more texture.
Yep.
And, dude, riced cauliflower, it replaces some of that other stuff. We actually made cauliflower tortillas.
Cauliflower does not get enough love on the food chart.
One thing I will say about cauliflower, though, it will stink up your fridge.
Oh, yeah. It stinks up everything, actually.
Anyway, moving forward.
Moving right along, I'm going to get into my last beer because I kind of want to get back to the fun. And Parallel 49, I'm sure, won't let me down. This is the Lost Souls. I mean, nothing says Thanksgiving and Halloween and pumpkin time like the Grim Reaper holding a lantern. It's the Lost Souls chocolate pumpkin porter.
Wait a second. Nothing says Thanksgiving like the Lost Souls Grim Reaper.
Well, it's Canadian Thanksgiving. So for us, Canadian Thanksgiving heralds the time, and you can see I'm dressed up for it. It heralds the time where snow's right around the corner. We're going to have some turkey, and then the kids are going to get bundled up in their costumes for Halloween. And that's it's a good time. And I talked about it last year. What I like about Canadian Thanksgiving is you get essentially a month and a half worth of turkey, turkey sandwiches, turkey soup, whatever. You get sick of turkey. And then you've got like almost a full month and a bit to get ready for turkey again and get excited for turkey for Christmas. It's, I'm just telling you, Americans out there, you should have your Thanksgiving in October. Just saying.
Canadian Thanksgiving sounds much more aggressive than American Thanksgiving.
It's very aggressive.
I kind of want to get down in a rage on Canadian Thanksgiving. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. We do like to rage on the food and the beer and whatnot. I'm going to hold this up and talk about, you can see this is definitely a porter. So you're talking about your last one being more of a brown ale. And you can tell right away it's got that thicker, viscous porter type, and it's still got a little bit of thinness to it, so it's not a stout, but I mean there's no questioning that this is a porter. It's got that nice creamy head on it. It's got a really dark color that I would expect out of a chocolate porter. Oh, it smells fantastic. It smells like a chocolate pumpkin pie, which I hope it follows up within the taste, or otherwise I'm gonna be super disappointed. Quick hits about Parallel 49. The founders grew up in East Vancouver, British Columbia, near the brewery, Anthony, Mike, and Nick, and they decided to open a brewery. First, they opened a restaurant in 2008, and in 2012, they opened a brewery with Michael and Graham. Graham's their brewmaster, and they've been brewing ever since. Quick hits about the beer. It's, like I said, it's porter style. It's an American chocolate porter, 6.5% ABV, only 11 IBUs. So stepped it back up in ABV, stepped way down in IBUs, which actually kind of surprises me a little bit. We've talked about porters a lot on the show. We've done a lot of porter in stout pairings. And it's very rare that I see a porter or stout with the IBUs this low. Normally you see the IBUs kind of almost step up to counterbalance that chocolate. So that'll be interesting to see how that works on the flavor profile. And they're a little blurb about it. They say the base of this beer is a robust porter that uses a large amount of chocolate malts to achieve a chocolate flavor. I'm excited for that. Pumpkin is used in the mash along with traditional pumpkin pie spicing in the brew kettle. Also a big fan. And they say then they use an English strain of yeast to give this beer a slightly fruity derived flavor. So all of that sounds good, but now I got to taste it. Now I got to see if it follows through. Great description, but it's not going to be there if the flavor isn't there. So Robbie, I know you said it for your last beer.
Yeah, you know, I actually tried to track this beer down all last year when I was doing my pumpkin pie or pumpkin ales across America BS on my other website and got pumpkined out. And my wife, of all people, brought this home one day. She says, I know that you're sick of pumpkin beer, but I thought you might want to try this. But. And this is from Buffalo Bills Brewing, and Buffalo Bills Brewery has been around since 1983. They're one of the first brew pubs in America, according to their website.
Wow.
And they market their pumpkin ale as what is the first pumpkin ale in America. I don't know if that's true because pumpkin ale has been around forever. We've talked about that in the past. I mean, pioneers were making pumpkin ale.
Pumpkin was a thing before apples were a thing, long time before.
Yeah. So maybe that's true. Maybe it isn't. I don't know, but it sounds good. And maybe they just trademarked the phrase. Who cares? But this is their black pumpkin. And my bottle is sweating a little bit. I apologize. It's a black pumpkin oatmeal stout.
Mm.
And it is 40 IBUs, which sounds high based on everything that we've done, but it's a stout. So
and that's what I was just, I mean, that's literally what I was just saying. I kind of expect the IBUs to go up when you're dealing with a stout or a porter, not down.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, they don't give a ton of info. Switch the camera so you guys can see me while I'm talking. They don't give a ton of info. Buffalo Bills have been around for a while. They make some pretty good beers. They don't give a ton of info about this. They're in Hayward, California. It's a creamy oatmeal stout with rich layers of pumpkin spice and chocolate accents. So I feel like we're going to be kind of on the same pace here.
Mm-hmm.
Black pumpkin oatmeal stout boasts a smooth roasted malt flavor, subtle sweetness. I disagree there. There's nothing subtle about the sweetness here. And the aroma of pumpkin creme brulee. And it's funny, when you said chocolate pumpkin, I'm thinking that's creme brulee was the first thing that popped into my head. 7.9% ABV. So a little bit higher than I was working with the Harvest Ale, a little bit lower than the Imperial Pumpkin Ale from Elysian, which actually they boast on their bottle here that it is the world's first Imperial Pumpkin Ale. So good for them. But this ships, and this is available. It looks like it's available in like 12 packs and 22-ounce bombers, which is what I've got. It's available. It ships from July to October. I don't know who's drinking this in July, but whatever. On Beer Advocate, they rate it as an 87, but it only has 20 reviews, so it's not quite. It's funny. They rate it as an 87, but then I'm looking at these reviews: 4.15. out of 5, 4.3 out of 5, 4.1 out of 5, 4.1, 4, lots of 4s out of 5s, which sounds pretty damn good to me. It's a stout, definitely darker, definitely thicker, a little bit more viscous. It's got the kind of that creamy taupe-colored head. They say taupe is very soothing. The nose on it, super sweet. And it's creme brulee, vanilla, sweet cream, and some of those mild baking spices, not a lot of a sugared cinnamon, not much nutmeg and allspice, that kind of thing, but just very, very sweet and a little bit of definitely a sweet cream. You know, a sweet cream has that almost a sourness to it, a mild sourness.
Yep.
That's exactly how this smells. It smells like ice cream. And when it hits the palate, it kind of tastes that way, but I want to jump in and hear about yours before I start talking about mine.
So I think we're having a very similar experience. This, you know, it's almost pumpkin in name only. But what I mean by that is it's not a chocolate porter, but it's not a pumpkin ale, and it's not really what I would think of as a pumpkin porter. It's kind of this interesting hybrid of the two. So normally when I think porters, you know, when I take a sip, I'm immediately going to get that rich toasted malt, a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of espresso every time. This isn't like that at all. Instead of the toasted malt and the sort of espresso, I get that almost, I don't want to say milk chocolate, because milk chocolate, of, you know, you think of milk chocolate, you think of really sweet chocolate, and it's kind of like if you mixed half and half milk chocolate and dark chocolate. So you get a lot more of the chocolate notes than you do any of the sweetness, which, so it's balanced. And then after that, I get, you know, where I'd normally get the espresso, that's where I get a little bit of the pumpkin and a little bit of the spices. Now, I almost feel like they could have dialed the allspice and spices on this up a little bit, because it would have been an interesting finish to have maybe a cinnamon finish to it. So the chocolate and malty character of this is kind of a little strong for the spices that are in here, but it's really good. Is it a great pairing for what I was looking for tonight? Maybe not, but this is a beer that, and I'm sure it's seasonal, but this is a beer that I could sit down if I'm looking for a porter and I'm not looking for that espresso quality. This is it. This is kind of what I'm after. I mean, it's not too sweet. It's not too, yeah, it's just right for a pumpkin porter. In terms of how it's pairing with the cigar, well, it's going good. I don't think there's enough unique character within the beer to sort of stand out from the cigar. Whereas with the Steamworks Pumpkin Ale, you know, we talked about the first beer and you had the Elysian Great Pumpkin. That first pairing for me kind of matched up really nicely with the cigar. It was counterbalancing all the things that the cigar wasn't. This is a little bit too close to the cigar in terms of the flavors aren't necessarily standing out. It's working okay, but, you know, like nothing of this makes me want to write home about it. But I'm going to have some more sips and let my mind kind of wander while you talk about your last pairing.
This pairing is going a lot better than I thought it would. I thought this was just, when I tasted it at the beginning, it's too sweet. It's going to be way too sweet, way too sweet, way too sweet. It turns out that this cigar is begging to be paired with something sweet.
Interesting.
I think this could pair really, really well with some rum, too, by the way. I meant to tell you this. I was at my local Costco the other day. They have Ron Zacapa for $30 a bottle.
Oh, boy.
I grabbed four and put them in my basket.
Yeah.
And I rethought and I went and I put them all back, actually, because I needed to look and see if I had a bottle at home, and I don't. So there's some $30 a bottle. Every other time I've seen it, it's been 50.
Yeah, that's super cheap.
It's hard to pass that up. So anyway, and I wanted to take like a little, do like a Facebook Live just so you could see the selection of stuff that they've got there. It's kind of impressive. Anyway. They had some pumpkin ales there too. Why I didn't pick any up, I don't know, but I didn't. So to get back to this black pumpkin oatmeal stout, I'm a little all over the place today. I feel like I had too much caffeine. The sweetness is perfect. It's the chocolate that's coming out is a more of a bittersweet chocolate. So you get that bitterness. It hits the side of the tongue. The finish is that vanilla, and it's like more like a vanilla bean really than a sweet vanilla. Some pumpkin spice, some pumpkin pie type spice, you know, the nutmegs and things, allspice we've been talking about. But you also get that kind of chewy pumpkin flavor in there as well. I didn't think that I could actually beat the Elysian, but this might even be a better pairing. Wow. They're probably on par with each other. It just depends on what kind of beer do you want to have. Do you want to have a heavier stout, oatmeal stout, or do you want to have an imperial pumpkin ale? What kind of experience do you want to have? The flavor on the Imperial Pumpkin Ale is a bit more crisp. The oatmeal stout obviously is going to coat the palate a little bit more. Still getting an awful lot of richness out of the cigar. That black pepper spice is really heightened on the retrohale for me. The body of the cigar is still there. I don't feel like I'm losing anything from the cigar. I'm gaining a much better appreciation of the beer than I had when I first tasted it. So I feel like these guys are complementing each other really, really nicely. I hope, and I know that you said yours might not be doing the same, but I kind of hope that it comes around a little bit to where I'm experiencing this. This is really, really nice.
Well, I think what you have in your beer and I don't have in my beer is that big sweetness. I think mine's a little bit more subdued. In terms of beers of the night, I mean, this is kind of the, you know, Aaron Loomis from the Developing Palates kind of made a joke that he could tell what kind of season it was here in Calgary based on my Facebook feed and what kind of beers I was drinking. And this is definitely the kind of beer that I'd be drinking at this time of the year where it's starting to get kind of chilly. You know, I need something to warm the bones, as they say. And this is a great example of a different style of porter that isn't like your London Porter, your Fuller's London Porter. It's not like a double chocolate porter. It's a great offshoot of that. it's not what I'm looking for when I was looking for pumpkin ales, but it turns out that's okay because it's still tasty. It still pairs well. As you say, the cigar has enough body here to sort of pick up the slack. I'm definitely getting a little bit more of that pepper now lingering on the sort of middle of my tongue and back of my tongue, and I enjoy that. It's not overpowering, and I, you know, we talk about pepper. I know there's a lot of people out there that are really pepper adverse, and they don't want what they consider to be spicy pepper, but it's just enough. It's just enough without being in your face. This is kind of like a dialed-down version of the C276, just with more flavor complexity. That's, you know.
C276, though.
Right?
Oh,
such a good cigar.
Yeah, I need to get some more of those. And I feel like I said that last time, and I haven't done it yet. I'm going to have to look and see if the Sigfed store has some, because I'm going to have to pick some of those up. I always talk about, we talked about AKA cigars. We haven't talked about them in a while, but that, what the hell is the one with the blue label? AKA with the blue label. That's Fred's math.
You've thrown a deep pass and I don't know.
That's Jay's masterpiece. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called. The one with the blue label. But I think the C276, that's Fred's masterpiece. That's a beautiful cigar.
Yeah. And I think Fred's talked about that. How, you know, the C276 came out of the gate and it was a really strong offering, and Fred's kind of tried to move away from that. And for me, there's only a couple, for my personal taste, there's only a couple manufacturers out there that really hit on all cylinders where I can pick up their product and know that and we talked about this when we did our Warped show, Warped Whiskey Wednesday. I talked about how Warped is one of those companies. I can pretty much blindly pick up any of their product and I'm going to enjoy it. Fred's the same way. From his Connecticut Fuerte all the way up to the C276, the S307, and everything in between. And, you know, I've gone on about the SA17. I think I've smoked like four or five of them from my bundle. Thank goodness I got 10 of them because they're going down fast. But they're all great. And, you know, whatever it is about Fred's palate, his palate and my palate are pretty much in lockstep in terms of what he enjoys out of a cigar and what I enjoy out of a cigar. So what I mean by all of that is that this Nomad Martial Law was a great release, and I like that it's still got that component that I expect out of his blending without being a rehash or a redux of anything that he's done in the past. It's unique enough to be a new product that I still enjoy. Sorry we're pairing with pumpkin ales tonight, Fred. We had to do it.
And Fred, I'm not sorry.
For all of our listeners and viewers out there, if you follow Fred on Facebook or Twitter, and you absolutely should be following.
Yes, if you're not, you're remiss because he's
highly entertaining.
Yeah, he's a comedian, man.
So Godfather, I think at Instagram, Twitter, on Facebook, it's Fred Rui, and you gotta follow him. He's hilarious. He brings a lot of levity and brevity to my day. And one of the things Fred talks about is, you know, I think he posted a picture a few weeks ago about pumpkin spice gasoline, and he said, okay. It's gone too far, and you know, so it does get under his skin a little bit, but this is kind of our ode to him, poking a little bit of fun. But getting back to the pairings here, this porter is, I think, probably my favorite beer of the night, and it's hard for me to have a porter that I don't like, but I'd say in terms of what I was looking for pairings, that Steamworks Pumpkin Ale, like, unfortunately, is one of the things where it started out and that was it. Like, we could have done a short portion. I could have talked about that beer for 20 minutes and I would have been a happy camper because it's got all the components I've wanted in a pumpkin ale at the right levels of strength that match up with the cigar. The Lost Pumpkin Patch Ale from Canuck Empire was a great beer, and I think you talked about it. If I wouldn't have known it was a pumpkin ale and someone just said, hey, this is a really interesting pumpkin ale or a really interesting ale, you should just try it, I would have really liked it because it's got a nice ale component. It's got enough hoppiness to take away some of the sweetness and counterbalance it. And as an ale, if I just want to sit down and drink an ale, it's different. It's different from a traditional ale that I'd find along the 75 other ales on the shelf. I really enjoyed it. But for me, the favorite beer of the night, no question, the Parallel 49 Lost Souls, and favorite pairing of the night, that Steamworks Pumpkin Ale right out of the gate, that it just hit on all cylinders for me.
Yeah, I think we had similar experiences. How much time do we have left?
Down to about 3 minutes.
Okay, I'll keep it quick. The Elysian Great Pumpkin Imperial Pumpkin Ale, great pairing. Very pumpkin pie style. So if you want that out of your beer and you're going to pair it with a cigar that's going to have some earthiness to it and some black pepper, you won't be disappointed if that's what you're looking for. with this black pumpkin oatmeal stout from Buffalo Bills. If you can find it, I've never actually seen it. I don't know where my wife found it, but this is going to be more on the sweet side, a little bit more chocolatey, not as over the top pumpkin pie flavored, right? Still has a pumpkin, but it's not quite as pumpkin-y, pumpkin pie-ish. Still a very good pairing. I think those pairings are actually equal depending on what you're looking for. For me tonight, I'm actually going to defer, go back to the great pumpkin from Elysian. That's still the best one, the best pairing. And I think it's probably one of the best pumpkin ales that I've had, actually. When you want something that's got that pumpkin pie deal. This Harvest Ale from Barrel House really impressed me. It was the worst pairing of the evening, but I think it was my favorite beer of the evening. So I'm going to check out a lot more from Barrel House. Plus, I like their logo. I don't know if you can see the little BH right there, where the H runs through the B, and it's
well designed.
Made in America. Very cool. And it's Liberty and Justice for All down at the bottom of there. I dig it. And I just like the look of it. But I'm definitely going to try more of their stuff because I'm going to have to find the Black Rye IPA. That sounds awesome. But not the best pairing of the night, but I think my favorite beer of the night because it was the least amount of pumpkin. So that's one thing that Fred and I agree on. And as far as Fred is concerned, my favorite thing that he posted was the pumpkin pie spiced tampons.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one. That's just, that's when you know it's gone too far.
Or just far enough, depending on who you ask.
Yeah. Hey, now. Okay, hey now. Moving on.
So just a reminder to audience that this is a pre-record session. We had to both on assignment this week, so as it sometimes works out, we have to do a pre-record. Thanks, everyone who tuned in live, so to speak. We'll be back tomorrow night with an interesting show. As it works out, it'll be a Black Label Trading Company in the Blackworks Studios, so that's perfect timing, really, to talk about this particular cigar, which comes out of their factory. And they've certainly been doing a lot more collaboration products, which is cool because they don't have a large factory. You know, they're talk about boutique. They're the boutiques of the boutique. They've done a lot of projects for Cigar Federation, and it's really cool to see a lot of other manufacturers work with them. So the timing of the show really couldn't come better, and I really didn't do that on purpose. It just kind of worked out that way. Rob's in charge of planning Cigar Chat, and I'm in charge of planning sharing our pairings. It just worked out. And it'll be an interesting double header night because right after the Cigar Chat show, One Embargo is taking a 180-degree turn, and they'll be talking about Casa Fernandez, which is not at all to do with Habanos. So the One Embargo show, yeah, so it'll be Yellow Snapper and Big Tuna. They're going to be taking a step back from Cuba, heading to Nicaragua, sitting down with Casa Fernandez. So that'll be an interesting show. You want to check that out. So stick around after Cigar Chat. But as we were saying, sharing our pairings, make sure to drink better, but drink less. Nothing like getting day drunk.
Yeah, it's for the record, it's pre-record. This is Friday for in the world of Robbie Raz. It's 2:46 p.m. And, you know, it's work, so it's okay.
Yep.
But, you know, normally I wouldn't be drinking like this in the afternoon. One thing, you were talking about Black Label, and they're going to be on Cigar Chat here pretty soon. That Black Label Bishop's Blend has been blowing up.
I've heard it's amazing.
It's got some really, really, really high reviews from Half Wheel and from Coop and from all over the place. I mean, when everybody takes notice of Half Wheel, right?
Charlie gave it like a 93.
Yeah, 93 or 94, something like that.
That's 115 adjusted, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, God bless them. They've put themselves in that position to where everybody pays attention to their reviews. They're doing something right. And when they don't throw out scores like that often, so...
Certainly not to boutiques, that's for sure. Yeah,
I haven't smoked that cigar, and frankly, when I saw that, I thought, wow, maybe I should buy some. And I checked the SigFed store, and they're sold out. So there you go. But some cool stuff coming out of all the color projects are coming out of Logan's color projects. The Green Go, which I thought – that was probably my favorite turn of phrase for the names. Green Go, it's just gringo, you know, white guy, what the hell. But I thought that was pretty good, but – yeah, that'll be a fun show. And, yeah, man, I'm pumpkined out.
Yeah, I hear you.
When it comes to pumpkin, I like my pumpkin pie. I like pumpkin pie ice cream, which I can't have anymore because it's not paleo. Have you ever had?
I've not had that. That sounds fantastic.
Oh, dude, you gotta have pumpkin
like
pie
vanilla
ice
bean ice cream with little bits of pumpkin pie in it. That sounds
great. Oh, phenomenal! Like, there's one that's down here, and I feel like it's, I don't know if it's Dreyer's or what brand it is. And Dreyer's is Edie's on the East Coast. It's Dreyer's on the West Coast, and it's kind of, it's an orangish color, obviously.
Yeah.
It's got a pumpkin pie flavor to it, but it's got little chunks of like pie crust in it. Oh, fucking forget about it. Oh, we're in the after dark, right? Yeah, fucking forget about it. Woo!
Woo!
That is thebomb.com. It is, yeah, quite good. But I'm impressed with this barrel house, man. And I'm glad that I spotted it, because I notice every time you go into a cigar, if you're a cigar smoker, you go into your local shop. When they have something new, no matter what it is, you notice it.
Yeah.
Right? You notice that it could be down on the bottom shelf in the back left corner of the humidor, and you could walk up and say, hey, what's this, whatever the hell it's called. I mean, it could be anything. But, I just got an email. Drew Estate, sponsor of the show, has announced a
H-Town Lancero, son.
Yeah, the Herrera Esteli H-Town Lancero. Well, my wallet just got a little bit lighter because, I mean, Willie makes anything, I'll buy it.
True enough.
This barrel house is new, and they just started carrying it. And for the record, we just started getting Elysian down here as well. But I've had most of the Elysian stuff. And they have the Elysian Punkachino. It's a pumpkin coffee brown ale or something like that.
Ooh.
Don't ever drink it.
No?
I took three sips and then I was done.
Ooh, wow.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to say don't ever drink it. That's not fair. For me, it was way too sweet.
Huh.
It was, yeah, it was way too
sweet. I know you're not a fan of the overly sweet beers at all.
I do like a dessert beer every now and again. For me, it's got to be a stout. It's got to be like a milk stout with, you know, some chocolate or that high water brewing campfire stout that's got the s'mores type flavor. Ooh, which they're starting. They just released a barrel aged version. Daddy is pumped for that. I gotta go find that for real. But the Punkachino, they had it there, and I almost bought it because I was looking for stuff. I mean, spoilers. I bought a couple of these today, and I wanted to make sure that they were cold because it was like an hour before the show, and they had the Punkachino in the fridge. I just couldn't do it. I could not bring myself to do it because it was just way, 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 way too sweet. It sounds really good, and that was the one that I really wanted to try last year. It was just too much, too sweet on my end.
Taking it back to Black Label Trading Company for a second, I don't know if you've had a chance to try their Killer Bees, which I ended up buying a couple different formats of it, and I can't remember the names. One was the Killer Bee, and I want to say the other one was like the Wasp, but I can't remember the name off the top of my head. But those have been really good. I've smoked a pile of those already. And it just so happened that when I ordered them, the Bishop's Blend was not yet out. So I'm going to be down in Nicaragua on assignment again, and this is going to be in pretty much, 3 weeks, 4 weeks after this show airs. So who knows? I'll be in Esteli. It's a short walk over to Black Label's factory there.
Just say, roll me up some, son. Just them up.
Hook me up with that Bishop Blend. I heard that's the business. So
I heard that's the heater, dog.
You know, James is the kind of guy who'd be like, oh, yeah, no problem. So that'll be good times.
Dude, James is awesome. The only times I've really interacted with James, because for whatever reason, when we've had him on Cigar Chat, I haven't been there. So it's always been Logan or you've been on
there. Oh, yeah, that's right.
The only times I've ever really had a chance to interact with James are at IPCPR. And he is such a chill dude. He's got a sweet beard, or at least he did last time I saw him. And I think their cigars are really good. I haven't really explored their expanded stuff, the Killer Bees and the Bishop's Blend and their newer stuff.
They good.
But just the OG stuff they came out with, those first five or six blends, all
Redemption
pretty damn
and
good.
The Last Rites, so fucking good.
I remember really enjoying the two that had white labels.
Yeah, I feel think like, that was Redemption and the Last Rites.
Yeah, that might actually be it. I remember really enjoying those cigars. And but I definitely have to check out, and that's the power of reviews, man. I have to check out that Bishop's Blend now because everybody's loving on it, and you can't even. I went to the SigFed store, and you got to figure they're making cigars for Logan. So all the color projects come out of that factory. So if anybody's going to have them, the SigFed store would have them, and they're sold out. So
Damn.
There you go.
Well, I think what's cool about the Blackworks and James is that their product is now available in Canada, and it's going to be carried at all of my shops here in Canada, all 17, soon to be 23, 25 shops. You know, and it's one of those things where it's an easy sell when people say at the store, they say, well, you know, why should I carry this product to the store? And it's like, well, let me give you the 45-minute pitch, and here's one to smoke because they're, you know, outstanding. And it's one of those great products. I'm happy to have at our stores in Canada. I love them boutiques, son.
So check this out. I just pulled up the SigFed store, right? And you go to the Black Label Trading Company page, and there are 10 offerings here. And the first 6 are sold out. the Deliverance, wow. Deliverance Nocturne, the Deliverance, they have a new Vitola sampler, which I'm kind of bummed I missed out on that. The Morphine. Oh, this doesn't even have like the killer bees and all that stuff in here.
Yeah, I think those sold out in the first couple days as well, actually.
Yeah, so there's some in here that aren't even listed. Down. But you could go back and I think it's the Royalty and the Benediction are the two. The Benediction is the one that I really enjoyed that cigar.
And I really like that Royalty.
Yeah, so those are the two with the only two that I think they have that have white labels on them. So they're easier to distinguish because I think everything else, Black Label, has black labels on it.
Makes sense.
And the Bishop's Blend has a green, a red label. I think the Killer Bees have green. But yeah, some really cool stuff coming out of there. If you haven't checked them out, it might be one of those companies that, you know, maybe some of our listeners might have never even heard of it. So if you haven't, definitely check them out. They're worth definitely worth a spin.
So we're going to do our quick NFL tally. Unfortunately, we can't give you the Week 6 results. All I can give you is the Thursday night game, which, boy, did that
we
go south
missed.
In a hurry. I mean, this Broncos just pissed me off. Picked the Broncos, and then they just shit the bed all downfield, all across the field. They just got beat up all day long by the Chargers. It wasn't even close.
It's like the Chiefs last year. Remember, we both kept picking the Chiefs, and then when we stopped picking them, they started winning.
Yeah.
So the Broncos are doing exactly the opposite of whatever we tell them. So if you're a Broncos fan and you want them to win, we do accept bribes.
Absolutely.
And we will pick against them every week if you like. Just email Rob at Cigar Federation or John at Cigar Federation.
We'll go transfers.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't deal with Bitcoin, though. That's a little too weird for me.
It's weird. Just give me a straight up ducats. Electronic ducats are
just cash.
Perfectly fine. Yeah.
PayPal.
Yeah. It works. So I'll quickly whip through the Week 7 games. Starting it with a Thursday night game, I'm not really sure what to make of this game. I mean, it's a good choice for Thursday night game because divisional classic rivalry matchup. It's the Bears facing off against the Packers. Packers at home. You know, we always talk about the home team advantage, and you know, those are actually two teams that have really strong home field advantages. So I think if there's a verse, if Packers are on the road facing the Bears, I'd be inclined to pick the Bears. But Packers at home, man. I'm gonna go with the Packers on that one.
I'm going to go with the Pack Attack, and my former intern from when I was working at UC Berkeley in the athletic department, Aaron Rodgers. Those are my picks. I'm taking the Pack Attack.
The crap game of the week, easily the super crap game of the week, and based on the time, I'm assuming this is a London game because it's 9:30 Eastern in the morning. So if the game didn't suck enough, sorry for London, you're going to get a crappy game. The New York Giants facing off against the Rams. The Rams are designated the home team. That's just a terrible matchup. Terrible.
Terrible. You know what? I'm going to take the Giants.
Well, just to make it interesting, I'm going to take the Rams because I don't care. So, there you go.
Boom.
Boom. Now, one of the interesting games of the week, you got high-flying offense against maybe a high-flying defense. Saints on the road, first up Sunday morning against the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs at home. Kind of interesting matchup.
That, to me, feels like the kind of game that the Chiefs would win.
Yeah.
I feel like their home field advantage, which you talk about strong home field advantages in the NFL, that just seems like one of those places you never want to go play at Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. And I feel like their defense strong enough to maybe negate a good offense. And I don't know how good the Saints offense really is. It's not like a, you know, greatest show on turf type offense like they used to be. I mean, that was the Rams, but they used to be just all over the place. Jimmy Graham down the field, blah, blah, blah. But now it's not quite the same. I think you got to go with Kansas City on that one.
Yeah. The next up game, which might end up being the hardest pick of the week, it's the Indianapolis Colts on the road facing the Titans at home. Titans have kind of managed to make a showing of themselves, and I feel like, you know, defensively they might be the team to throw an upset in the mix, but I'm not quite sure what to make of that one.
It's the Colts, you said, at the Titans?
Titans are at home, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go Titans there.
I feel like I'm going to have to go Titans as well because I'm not really sure where to pick. I'm going to default to the home team. Now, the no-brainer pick of the week, the Minnesota Vikings on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles. As of week six, just before the week six game, I think the Vikings are 5-0. They're really, some people have listed them as the number one team in the league right now. And I, you know, that's not a game I can see the Eagles winning, so I'm going to go Vikings on the road.
That's tough. Two teams have started out hot, right? And I mean, we're projecting into the future, so we don't know what's going to happen in the next. Because we're going into week five, and we're talking about week seven picks.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't really know exactly what's going to happen. Assuming all stays the way it is, and we're talking about the Vikings with a backup running back and a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
So no excuses to the rest of the NFL. I don't want to hear about, oh, well, so-and-so is hurt. So what?
So what?
I mean, the freaking Patriots called me up to see if I could play quarterback for them 1 week. There was a scheduling conflict, so I couldn't do it. But
that's
I mean,
fair.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know I was committed somewhere else, you know.
Bill, but, call I mean, me. I'm just yeah. saying, I'll be your running man. I'll just call me.
Call me.
Call me.
I mean, the Vikings, man. I'm just, and I don't like the Eagles, so I'll go with the Vikings. Why not?
So normally this would be a crap game of the week as well. The Browns on the road against the Bengals, but you know, talk about divisional matchups. It doesn't really matter what your standings are for the year. I mean, classic example is the Bills beat the Patriots. Now, granted, they did it with a paper bag man at quarterback, but divisional matchups are always tough. As of 5 weeks of play, Cleveland Browns were 0-5. So, you know, I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at the Bengals. Bengals are 2-3, better, but not that much better. I feel like that could be a trap game where I go with the Bengals, and then the Browns just come out and have a monster game. But my football education says you got to go with the Bengals on that one, especially at home.
I'm playing the hunch, baby. I'm taking the Browns. They're going to win one. They're going to win one game this year. That's going to be it.
That's going to be it. All right, that's fair. Now, another game of the week that I think is really tough.
I take this really seriously. Can you tell?
Yeah, totally seriously. Nope.
Spreadsheets, baby. Spreadsheets.
Email your picks to surgeon@cigarfederation.com if you want to get in. Make sure to get your games in before Thursday night game. Otherwise, you ain't in. Redskins on the road against the Detroit Lions. Neither team really doing that well this year. What's your take on that one?
We talked about this just the other day when we did our live show.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings are what, like 7 points from being undefeated, something like that?
Or not the Vikings, yeah.
The Lions, yeah.
Yeah, it's a 7-point differential between being undefeated for the season and being their current record, which as of – so we're in technically we're in week five because the week seven games – or week six games, pardon me, haven't kicked. So they're 2-3, but they could be 5-0 by a 7-point differential. So that – I mean, that means they're very, very close. They're – you know, if you look at their points four, they've actually got more points four – they're tied for the Vikings' most points for. The problem is they've given up 125 points against, and that's why they are where they are.
I mean, you can look at that in two different ways. One, hey, man, these guys should be undefeated. They're much better than their record shows. Boom, I'm going to pick them. Or you could look at it and say, hey, these guys don't know how to win.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how – I mean, numbers can say whatever you want them to say, right? So with all that being said, I'm going to take the Lions.
I'm also going to take the Lions, and I'm basing that on the fact that as of week five, the Redskins have 115 points for and 122 points against, so they're not really in a better boat. It's kind of an even toss-up, and for me, you know, that says go for the home team. In the no-brainer pick of the week, the Raiders, who is everyone's sweetheart this year, I don't know how that happened, how the Raiders became everyone's sweetheart, they're on the road against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, dude. The Raiders! Which, I mean,
the Raiders.
I'm a 49er fan, so that pains me to say.
It should.
Not as much as, like, it would say, hey, I'm rooting for the Dodgers to win the World Series, because fuck the Dodgers. I'm rooting for the fucking Toronto Blue Jays to win the World Series.
Hell yeah, Toronto Blue Jays, woo!
No, I'm telling you, the entire world is going to be pissed when Toronto Blue Jays win the fucking World Series.
Suck it, son.
Seriously.
But you know, and I was looking at some of the highlights of the Blue Jays play throughout the postseason here, and I got to say, man, that's a classic example of where your regular season play might have not been that great, but damn if they aren't hitting on all cylinders in the postseason. Like, every game, they've got two or three highlights of, like, holy shit, your outfield is playing balls to the wall. And, I mean, that's what you need to do. If you want to win the playoffs, that's what you got to do.
And you've got your hot hitters hitting 500-foot home runs.
That doesn't hurt, as it turns out.
It doesn't hurt. I would really love to see the Blue Jays and the Cubs in the World Series. I'm taking the over. I don't bet on sports, but I'd take the over in every freaking game, even with the Cubs pitching. Because the Cubs, dude, the Cubs are – they barely squeaked past my Giants because they weren't hitting. And if their pitchers weren't hitting, it would be a different story. We'd still be playing. But they can pitch all facets of the game, starting pitching and relief pitching. They are nails. That's a hell of a team that they put together. But that would be a fun World Series. Fuck the Dodgers. And Cleveland, the baseball fan in me wants to see Cleveland and the Cubs play for the championship because Cleveland hasn't won since the last time they were in it was they lost to the Giants in 1954, and they've been since with the Manny Ramirez days, but they haven't won in forever, and the Cubs haven't won in like 108 years or whatever. So something's got to give in that series. But I'm pulling for Toronto, baby. But anyway, what the hell game was it that we were talking about?
I think we were talking about the Oakland Raiders. The Jacksonville Jaguars. The Raiders. Raider Nation.
We're both taking the Raiders. Let's move
on. Yeah, no question. Divisional matchup, the Buffalo Bills, who after the Jets laid a pounding on them, which was the last time the Jets played well, and the Bills fired their offensive coordinator, which apparently fired the team up, and now they're winning. They beat the Patriots. They're winning. They're against the Miami Dolphins, who all signs point to a free fall this season. Your Tannehill boy is supposed to be every year like, oh, this is the year the Dolphins take the division. No, you suck. And I don't care whether the Bills are home or on the road. The Dolphins are going to get beat up. I know it's a divisional matchup, but Bills are going to win that game.
Yeah, just give the ball to Shady and go from there. But the reason the Bills have gotten better is because they fired their old offensive coordinator, like you mentioned. I can't remember his name, but he before he took over as the Bills offensive coordinator, he was the 49ers offensive coordinator. And that's why they're better, because they cut all ties with San Francisco football.
That's smart.
So, yes, we're both taking the Bills.
Next up, a game that definitely is going to make me break out the bottle of scotch. This is my Jets, and the worst years for the Jets, and if you look back statistically, you can see the worst years for the Jets are the years where they place, because they don't face the Ravens and the Steelers all the time. Usually it's one or the other. In the years that the Jets face both, they just get blown out, like just absolutely blown out. And the Jets already got beat up bad by the Steelers. They always get beat up by the Ravens. I don't think there's, like, I think their record against the Ravens, they've got like 2 wins in like 10 years. So I don't care that the Jets are at home. And I don't really care who's playing in the Ravens, whether they're healthy or not. The Ravens are going to beat the Jets. It's like, I'm settled in for a year of sucking.
Who's the Jets quarterback? Is it still Fitzmagic?
It is Fitzmagic. At least it was in week 5. Our coach seems to want to ride that Fitzmagic right into the ground. He has no intention of sitting him, regardless of whether he throws 9 picks in a game or not. So it's going to be the Fitzmagic show all the way to the to the draft.
All the way to the first pick. Mm-hmm. Do they have anybody backing him up besides Geno Smith?
Yeah, and I forget the name of the
They drafted a kid this year, maybe?
They drafted a kid last year, and he has some spotlight of brilliance, but I think the analysis that I read was that potentially what could happen is if you start him and he gets hot, because his contract is up next year. So if you start him and he gets hot, all you're doing is really building up his value, and you're not going to have him by the end of the season anyway. So there's no value to the team starting him now, because the team's in free fall. The likelihood of us winning any amount of games at this point to matter is not there. And why would you prop up the value of a quarterback who you're potentially going to have to compete for bids on at the end of the season anyways? So kind of a shitty situation for him as a quarterback.
It doesn't sound like they want to win football games. I'm looking at the Jets roster here. And as quarterbacks, I can see Ryan Fitzpatrick.
We got 4 quarterbacks, by the way.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then you've got age 21 Christian Hackenberg, which that, I mean, frankly, no offense, Christian, but you don't sound like a winner. And then you got Bryce Petty, who sounds like he should be driving NASCAR.
Bryce Petty is the guy that has the most promise, and frankly, I think at the end of the season, he's going to go to a team and do well.
Hey, come to San Francisco, buddy. I'll take it. We need somebody.
We need somebody.
So, yeah, I'm taking the other team. It was the Jets and who?
The Ravens.
But I'm taking the Ravens, even though I don't like them.
The Buccaneers are on the road against your 49ers. With Cap starting this week, we have no idea how he's performed. We already talked about in deep analysis how this is Cap Super Bowl in week 6. So really, without knowing how he did in week 6, it's tough to predict how he's going to do in week 7.
It might not even be Cap playing. It might be Christian Ponder under center. Man, it's like every quarterback drafted in that year, whatever year that was. It's like 2013, I think. It's every quarterback from that draft.
Yeah.
We already got rid of Blaine Gabbert. Well, he's still there, but, you know, whatever. They were all taken in that same draft.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a good quarterback taken then, but I don't know who it was. Anyway, I've come around. I support Cap. I think he's got potential to be a good quarterback. I like the fact that he spoke up for what he believes in. Everybody who hates him doesn't understand America. Mm-hmm. And I saw this a cartoon.
Watch out, we're getting political.
We are.
Watch out.
I saw this cartoon where it was from the New Yorker or something like that, where it was Trump up there where he says America is not great, and then the crowd in front of him is like, yeah, yay, woohoo, and then Cap is at the microphone. He says America is not great, and everybody says boo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does that tell you about our country?
Yep.
As far as I'm going to go with it, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. We don't need to. We don't get political here on Sharing Our Pairings.
And we don't.
I've had enough beers in the afternoon to tell you guys what I really think. Mm-hmm. But I hope that Cap steps up and can revitalize his career. And
silence
I feel like
the haters.
Yeah, silence the haters. I love silencing haters. That's the mm-hmm. best thing. And if the 49ers have a chance of winning anytime soon, it's with Cap at quarterback. So
yeah,
I'll take Cap. I'll take the 49ers.
All right, split game. The Chargers, who just came off a big victory against the Broncos, but they're facing the Falcons at home, arguably the most high-flying offense in the league. I don't think the Chargers have a chance here. I think the Falcons are just going to dominate them. I think Chargers winning at home against the Broncos because they kind of had to, and those teams play pretty good football. I just don't see them beating the Falcons in this one.
Yeah, it seems like Matt Ryan has kind of turned the corner. And you talk about NFL quarterbacks, it takes forever to – I mean, back in the day when we were kids, like Troy Aikman sucked his first 2 years.
He was terrible, terrible.
Peyton Manning sucked his first year and a half. But they got a chance to play and to figure it out. Nowadays, it's like if you don't win in week one, you're not – you know, what have you done for me lately type situation. So Matt Ryan's been given an opportunity. He's been up and down through his career. And I feel like the same you could say about Andy Dalton. And the same thing, kind of up and down. But I feel like Matt Ryan's turned that corner, and he's got enough offensive weapons. I mean, if he's not going to turn the corner with the weapons he has now, he's never going to turn it.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's turned that corner, and it's tough to pick against the Falcons.
There you go. Now, what's probably the most interesting game of the week, and frankly, this is one of those games, the NFL has the ability to flex games into the Sunday night or the Monday night game.
You mentioned flexing games every week. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this is one of those games that absolutely 100%, no doubt about it. NFL's talking about how their viewership's down 15% or 12% or whatever it is. This is why. The Patriots against the Steelers. This game needs to be your primetime Sunday night game. This is going to be the game of the week. I don't care what team you're a fan of. I hate the Patriots. Frankly, I hate the Steelers too. This is the game I'm going to be tuned into because you've got Brady back. He's going to have a couple weeks under his belt. You've got Roethlisberger, his team's firing on all cylinders, coming off some big victories, playing consistently, no big injuries. If there's going to be another loss in the season for the Patriots, this is really the only game that could potentially be it. Do I think the Patriots are going to lose? Probably not, because those weasels are going to find a way to win this game. But you're going to be glued to the television set. This is the game of the week to watch.
Absolutely. Like, this is January football.
Mm-hmm.
In November,
yeah,
or late October, wherever, wherever we're going to be. Sorry, I got a little hiccup going. That's what happens when you have too much beer in the afternoon.
Copy that.
I don't know. I who's the home team?
Home team is the Steelers.
Oh, man. Yeah. That makes it
even more interesting.
Yeah, that makes it even more difficult to call.
Yep.
I feel like it's going to come down to a crazy play. I feel like if it's a blowout, if one team dominates the others, it will be Pittsburgh. It'll be Roethlisberger going with Antonio Brown on a couple of early touchdowns or, you know, what have you, maybe a pick six, something like that. I know, God forbid to say that, the Patriots quarterback, how can I not think of his name right now?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, wow, that's it's funny. I was talking to my wife last night. I think Tom Brady might be the best quarterback who's ever played the game.
Quite possibly.
And I grew up in the 80s watching the 49ers. The difference is Joe Montana had Jerry Rice and John Taylor and Brent Jones. And he was surrounded by uber talent.
Yeah.
And there was no salary cap. And Eddie D is throwing out cash where they had the best team three players deep.
Yeah.
The Patriots don't do that.
No.
They do it very, very different. And Tom Brady gets the most out of everybody. And I think he might be the best quarterback ever. But who are you taking?
I'm going to go with the Patriots.
I'll take the Steelers because I need to make up some ground.
Nice. So, and I just want to throw it out there. This is going to be one of those games. It's not going to be mediocre, you know, 21-17. This game is going to be like a 31-27 affair, or it's going to be some crazy, crazy, like 10-6. Like, you know, it's just going to be grind football with big defensive plays, a lot of running because the offense gets stifled on the pass. But I think it's going to be a big scoring affair. And, like, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Robbie. I think it's going to be one of those games where there's going to be multiple highlights of the week, and it's going to end on some kind of crazy big, like, somebody, like, Roethlisberger gets sacked, but he throws the ball in the air for 37 yards to Antonio Brown, who runs it down the field in the last 15 seconds for a touchdown. Like, it's going to end on that for sure.
It could be, this is the kind of game that people who don't even like football will enjoy.
Now, going from that to the kind of football game that nobody's going to enjoy, the Sunday night game, which I just talked about flexing, the Seattle Seahawks facing the Arizona Cardinals at home.
Well, see, here's the thing. Coming into the season, that looked like a fantastic football game.
For sure.
But neither team has really played up to the hype, right?
Mm-mm.
They've got a couple weeks to get healthy, get their shit together. I still like the Cardinals in that game. I think the Cardinals are a better football team. I think the Cardinals are a very good football team. And I think the thing about the Cardinals that's in their favor is nobody in the NFC West, and that really just means Seattle, has really taken off. So the Cardinals have some time to get their shit together and really start playing good football. They're going to be playing really good football by the time the playoffs roll around, and watch out. They're a good team.
So you're going Cardinals?
Absolutely.
I'm going Seahawks.
Boom.
And that's only
I'm
because,
making up ground this week, baby. Yeah, making up ground.
I feel like that's a trap game. Where I feel like that's the exact kind of game where normally I'd expect the Seahawks to come out and lay a turd, and instead they come out and they have a big game. So we'll see who's right in when we do our next live pairing show. Last game up, Monday night, another stinker. Texans on the road facing the Broncos at home. Tough game. Anytime you go on the road, they're out one of their major defensive players, J.J. Watt. I think their quarterback was injured in week 5. And facing the Broncos at home is never a good affair. I don't care who's healthy or not.
Now, wait, before you pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Has anybody sent us any money to make these picks for or against the Broncos?
Let me check my email. Checking the surgeon email for those who are not tuned in live.
See how my PayPal's looking.
No, my PayPal. No, in fact, it looks like PayPal money. How does that? That's weird. So, no, I don't have any bribery here. So, what are your thoughts on that game?
That sounds like a Denver win.
I'm going to have to go Denver as well, just because it's mile high. I think if Broncos are on the road, I might be inclined to maybe say Texans are going to be upset pick. But, I mean, one of the two toughest teams to play at home, the Broncos. So I think the Broncos are going to find a way to win that game.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. I do want to give a shout-out. This is ridiculous, but to the guy that I bought my new camera from off of eBay. When I bought the camera, he didn't list that it didn't come with the stock lens. So I didn't know if it came with it or not, but I bid anyway. And he was nice enough to email me after I won and say, hey, I neglected to say it didn't come with the lens. Do you still want the product? And I asked him to, you know, refund me $25. I said, refund $25, call it square, and we'll be good. Yeah. And sure enough, I logged in on my PayPal and checked. And he actually just refunded me my $25. So shout out to him. That's all.
Props. Super props. Classy. All right. Well, we'll be back next week, which I'll have to look at my calendar because it's a pre-record. So this is a pre-recording and airing on October 19th. So we'll be back for a pre-record show on October 26th. We'll have a lot of football to talk about. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of baseball to talk about by that point.
We're going
to
be live on the 26th, right?
We'll be live on the 26th.
Boom.
Boom. So that'll be an exciting show. We'll have a couple weeks of football, a couple weeks of baseball. It'll be a lot of fun. And as we say on Sharing Pairings, drink better, but drink less.